from CBS News Bay Area. This is the afternoon edition.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual.
Right now on the afternoon edition, a sixth officer in Memphis now fired after the death of Tyre Nichols that sparked national calls for change. Good afternoon. I'm Elizabeth Cook. Five other officers were fired and charged in Nichols' death. Protests sparked after the police department released video on Friday. Now a warning, it is very difficult to watch. Let's get right to CBS News' Skylar Henry, who is live in Memphis with the very latest in all this. Skylar?
Hey, Liz, good afternoon to you. Well, Memphis police have yet to release exactly what that sixth officer's involvement was in terms of the incident surrounding Tyre Nichols, but it goes to show the swift action that authorities say that they were going to be taking surrounding this investigation, not only with those five officers, now six, that have been relieved of their duties, but with others who responded to the scene.
There are renewed calls for Washington to pass the stalled George Floyd police reform bill following the violent police encounter with Tyre Nichols in Memphis.
We have to pass George Floyd Justice and Police Act that Congress has to reengage.
Over the weekend, protesters took to the streets in cities across the country after Memphis police released video of the brutal beating that led to the 29-year-old's death 3 days later.
Tired of black men getting killed by the police, whether they're black cops or white cops, because they're all blue to me.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's there, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
A lawyer for one of the former officers told CBS News a thorough investigation must be done. Over the weekend, the Memphis police chief disbanded the Scorpion anti-crime unit the five former officers belonged to.
It wasn't set up so that officers can be heavy-handed.
Nichols' funeral service is planned for Wednesday.
And so despite the dreary and cold weather this afternoon, there are a few planned protests and demonstrations around the city, all of which trying to call for justice, not only for Tyre, but for others who may have been impacted in terms of police brutality. We should point out that one of the demonstrations happening this afternoon will be watching the sunset. That is something that Nichols' family say that he enjoyed doing and taking pictures of, and so they say that they'll be doing the same. We're here in Memphis this afternoon. I'm Skylar Henry. Liz, back to you.
All right, Skylar, thank you so much. And in that piece, you heard from one of the protesters in Oakland. Dah Lynn was there yesterday, where it's not just the demonstrators outraged by the death of Nichols, but by many police officers as well.
No justice!
A few hundred protesters marched down Broadway in downtown Oakland Sunday evening, chanting,
"No justice!"
They're fed up, hurt and angry by yet another police killing.
And I'm tired of black men getting killed by the police, whether they're black cops or white cops, because they're all blue to me.
Oakland resident Brian Johnson says the fact the officers arrested for killing Tyre Nichols are black shows him it's a systemic problem.
They're not black, they're blue. That's a fraternity. They're part of that brotherhood.
The protesters marched to the Oakland Police Department. Some say it's time to get rid of all police departments.
We are not that department.
Chief Bill Scott says it's not fair to lump together SFPD and the Memphis Police Department.
Get policies in place, hold people accountable to those policies, put good training in place, and create a culture where that type of behavior is unacceptable. And I think we have a culture in this organization where that type of behavior is unacceptable.
Reverend Amos Brown invited law enforcement, faith, and community leaders to Third Baptist Church to talk about preventing police brutality.
It sets us back.
Retired SFPD Captain Yolanda Williams is the president of Officers for Justice. Her organization has been pushing to hire more black and brown officers to police their own communities.
We actually witnessed in the year 2023 the polar opposite of what we had fought so hard for. So now it's a greater understanding for me and I think others that the color is not what makes the difference in the delivery of the police service. It is actually the contents of your heart, if you still are an ethical person.
Johnson says he cried when he saw the police beating video, and it's made him even more fearful of the police.
All cops are not bad, because when I need them, I call them. And so there is the dichotomy.
The protests ended peacefully around 7:30. A few people spray painted graffiti during the march. Some protesters actually tried to stop them. Overall, no major damage and no arrests.
And we will continue to bring you reaction to that arrest video online and streaming on CBS News Bay Area. The company that runs one of the mushroom farms at the center of last week's mass shooting in Half Moon Bay now says it is working to construct new permanent housing for employees who live on that property. The governor and local officials harshly criticized California Terra Garden in the days following the shootings, calling the workers' on-site living conditions, quote, deplorable. In a statement today, a spokesperson for the company said the investigation uncovered, quote, a series of code and permitting requirements unknown before the tragic shootings. It says it will spend the next year planning and permitting new housing while providing its employees and their families with affordable housing in the meantime. Now, it's now been 1 week since a coworker allegedly shot and killed four workers on that farm and three at another farm. People have been gathering at candlelight vigils in the days since to remember them.
But as we stand here with our friends, families, and fellow community members, we have to realize there is also hope.
Meanwhile, we're learning more about a possible motive. The San Mateo County DA confirms a suspect told investigators he was angry over a $100 equipment bill from work and also experienced years of bullying and working long hours. The CHP says a woman hit and killed by a car on 580 just after 5 o'clock this morning had gotten out of the car on the shoulder, but still unclear why she did that. The 28-year-old from Turlock died at the scene near the 238 connector in Castro Valley. The driver, who hit her, stayed at the scene. Investigators say she showed no sign of impairment. Lanes were reopened at about a quarter to 8 o'clock this morning. And we've learned a South Lake Tahoe native has died after being caught up in an avalanche in Japan. According to his wife, Kyle Smain was skiing backcountry runs when he was killed. Japanese authorities confirmed two people died, but the other victims' names have not been released. At the state capitol, Teamsters rallied to support a bill requiring drivers to be in all large autonomous vehicles. This would apply to vehicles over 10,000 pounds. That could be anything from cargo vans like the ones used for Amazon deliveries to large pickup trucks. The Teamsters say these vehicles are too big to be allowed on the road without a driver.
Medium and heavy-duty trucks are much larger vehicles than passenger cars. They're significantly harder to slow, control, move in traffic, and divert if there's an accident. The significant damage these vehicles are capable of unleashing is a horrific realization.
The California DMV started testing large autonomous vehicles in 2019. No word yet on when they will be allowed back on the road. All right, let's switch gears for a moment and go to Darren Peck with a look at our weather. Pretty nice day, but a little chilly today, Darren.
A little cold in the morning, Liz, and it's going to get a little colder over the next few mornings. And it's still windy, at least in places. If you're up in the mountains or at elevation, you're really feeling it. But for the rest of us, these offshore winds have kind of lightened up. If we look at the big picture, you can see there are strong gusts of wind right now going across the North Bay Mountains. It actually helped keep the temperatures relatively warmer than they would have been, because that wind mixed up the air enough and the temperatures couldn't get down to freezing. But there's still a 40-mile-an-hour gust up here in the North Bay Mountains. And as we play this forward, most of the rest of us, I mean, look in the bay. It's like a 10 to 15-mile-an-hour breeze. And these are offshore winds. But watch how it just turns off by tomorrow. Goes away. But we still have a wind advisory until 1 o'clock this afternoon. If you are at elevation, we've avoided the worst of this so far, but we could still have downed trees up there. Maybe some localized power outages should that happen. We're going to look ahead in the complete first alert forecast in a bit. The mornings are about to get a little colder, and then a chance for light rain on Thursday night. I'll see you in a few minutes, Liz. Back to you.
All right, Darren. Thanks so much. Alameda County is ushering in the year of the rabbit.
Thank you.
Local leaders came together with the Pacific Islander Community Collaborative for the first in-person Lunar New Year celebration since the pandemic. It featured an array of local traditional performances, from Filipino folk dance to a kung fu exhibition.